Hello, it's Jamie and Sophie here from the Nearly Parents podcast, and we are sponsored by Gemini, Google's personal AI assistant.
Listen to this. Hi, Gemini. My wife, Sophie, is pregnant, so I want some unexpected acts of service.
How about setting up a cozy nesting station? Maybe even create a pregnancy time capsule together.
That is genuinely so good.
Download the Gemini app today to unlock the power of Google AI on your phone.
Sequences shortened, check responses, compatibility and availability varies, 18 plus.
It's a new day, a blank slate. Your mind wanders as you think about your future and all its possibilities. You want to find out what your potential career could be like, so you decide to do a T-level qualification. Designed with employers, it'll help you land a job, a place at uni, a higher technical qualification, or a higher apprenticeship. So go on, make today your day.
It all starts with skills. See how you can get started. Search Skills for Life.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. We got, it's a young superstar. It's okay for me to say that William Eklund of the San Jose Sharks is joining us. William, all the way from Stockholm. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, enjoying the weather here in Sweden. It's actually good weather for once. So, you know, sitting inside now doing this podcast, but it's really good.
And you notice if you're watching on YouTube, he's flexing because he puts the cameras up. You can see the giant windows. He's got like 20-foot windows behind him in his house, and he's just like, it almost looks like he's looking down on me in the interview, which is fine, but he does it on purpose, just so you know, because he wants to dominate. Is that why, William?
Yeah, you said it. You took it. No, it's not.
No, it is why. He knows he's better than me, and that's fine. Like, he's 22 years old. He's playing in the show, just signed a big ticket 3 years. It's got to feel good, right? You sit back, you have maybe a beer or a vodka. You're like, damn, I just signed a big deal. Your first big deal. How cool was that to sign that contract?
That was really cool. You know, it's surreal, to be honest. Yeah. Like, to sign that contract. And just for my family, too, it was really cool. So I'm really happy.
It was a big year for your family, your brother. I was actually looking. He just got drafted 16th overall by the Islanders. And I was going back and checking his stats playing for, what is it? How do you say the Djurgården?
Djurgården. Yeah.
He's better than you are. Yeah. Like, he's better.
He's good.
Do you guys go back and forth with the competition? Because he's a couple years younger. His team just won the championship. You couldn't do that. He's got more points.
No.
You were drafted a little higher. But does he rub it in your face saying, Willie, I'm better than you, bro? Like, that's it. He's going to make more on his entry-level contract.
That's what I'm trying. You know, he's trying to rub it down in my, you know, in my face, but he's giving it back to me with the draft. So I'm saying I'm 7, he's 16, so he can't really say anything yet. So we'll see what he does here in the future.
Were you in Greer's ear before the draft saying, hey, you got number 2, maybe trade down, get my brother, we could be on a line together? Did that thought come across your mind? Like, I could play with my brother. We could be like the Hughes brothers.
You know, you think about it, but to be honest, it's like a really slim chance. Yeah. Like, it's so many teams who's going to want a player, and if you want a player, you get him, and it's so many good players coming in. So, you know, he was just happy to get drafted, and that's what he should be. Yeah. And I was just happy for him, to be honest.
You're not going
to
hold out like the other Swedish brothers, the Sedin brothers, and say, we're not coming over unless we're drafted by the same team. That never happened?
No. You got to be as good as them, though.
You don't have that kind of pull?
No, I don't have that pull. So.
Almost, man. Last year, 58 points. 17 goals, 41 assists, playing with Toffoli and Celebrini. What was that like? Because obviously your rookie year, you played great, but then you get that line together and it just clicked. I saw you guys play a few times. I was in town for the Jumbo retirement. We got to play. See, guys, I think you played Carolina or somebody, but you played well. Won the game. You guys clicked. You guys were the main offensive cog on that team. How does that feel? who's the trigger man? Who's the guy who's driving the net? How does that line work? Because you're all different hockey players.
Yeah, I would say so too. You know, I would say, you know, obviously veteran presence in Toph. Yeah. He's really good at just putting the puck in the net. I've never seen anything like it, to be honest. He's just finds the way to get it in the net. And that's what he does well for our team. And, you know, it's a lot of things you can say about Mac, but he's driving, you know, the team sometimes most of the night. So, you know, he's driving the bus. And me, I'm just trying to be there and be a good complement to those two guys. And sometimes I manage to, you know, score some points. So I'm just happy to play with those guys and trying to do as I can.
You're just so humble. Just happy to be here. I'm just along for the ride. Those guys are dragging me up and down the ice. So it's a face-off play in the offensive zone. Are you taking the shot? Let's be honest, because Toffoli's going to the net. What's your perfect face-off play?
Perfect one?
Yeah.
You know, I know Mac likes to take the puck off their face-off because he wanted to win it himself and then take it. And sometimes when I go from the boards, I go right to the net and he just takes it. And, you know, either he slings it to the net or finds me back door and I find Toffoli back door again or something like that. But those plays are usually when we're all a lot in circulation. Yeah, yeah. So something like that, I would say. I don't know exactly, but something like that.
Well, because you can't really go back to the defense because Ferraro would just turn it over and it would be a busted play. So do you purposely just don't give it back to the D-men in the offensive zone? Because it's just, you know, plays die when it goes back to those guys.
No, I can't say that. No, I'm not saying that. You know, I don't know.
I'm just teasing.
Trying to make out some plays.
You don't have to say anything. No, it's fine. It's fine. I was a defenseman and I played with high-end forwards and they would tell me like, hey, bro, we're not giving it back to you. So just be ready if it does by accident come back to you. Because I know how the forwards are. But all right, I mentioned the Jumbo retirement. I was there. Jumbo's around you guys a lot. You're a young kid on this team that's obviously, I hate the word rebuilding or something. You're an NHL team. You're in it to win it. You're not winning just yet. You see Jumbo. You see the jersey raised to the rafters. Does that give you guys some kind of boost? I know it's stupid and you have to say yes, but does it do anything to you guys, honestly? Because you see all the great players on the ice. You have Dan Boyle, Joe Pavelski, John Scott, Joe Thornton. Does it do anything to see those legends on the ice, or is it just like, whatever, get it over with, let's get to the game?
Especially the Jan Scott guy, you know?
Right? It was crazy I was there.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know? Seen him a couple of – in the All-Star Game MVP, so –
Don't forget me and Danny Heatley, you know. Baby.
Yeah, you can't – no, but obviously it means a lot, you know? Like, you can joke all you want, but, you know, seeing Jumbo around and you're seeing his face every day and he's laughing coming into the rink when he's makes you in a good mood, you know? And sometimes we struggle as a team, but he was always trying to, you know, be there in a good mood and just be a guy who's around the team a little bit. So, I think it's important for all of those guys to see him.
Yeah. Does he still jump on the bike and take his clothes off and he's up there with his compression shorts just getting a lather on?
He is, yeah.
I'll never forget him. That was his before every practice, just up by our bike, and he would get a huge lather going, probably an hour on the bike before practice, but just in his little compression shorts. It was amazing, and he's 40-some years old now, and he's still doing it.
Yeah, he's so ripped, too. Like, he's still going, so yeah. He's got to do what he does, I guess.
Not bad. All right, so I want to talk about when you first got drafted. Obviously, 7th overall. Go to camp. Make the team. At a camp, William. Like, you're on the team. Play 8 games. Play good. Get sent down. Obviously, we know why. For contract reasons. The next year, go to camp. Make the team. 9 games. Played great. Get sent down. Contract. They want to keep your ELC. We know this. You know this. Everybody knows this. They want to keep you under control. It's got to sting a little bit, right? Because you put up decent points. You had 4 points in 9 games. You had 3 points in 8 games. Did you ever have conversations with Mike? And he, like, obviously said, hey, listen, we're not there yet. We're going to send you down, get you some experience, play more with the Barracuda. But inside of that, you burn a little fire under your gut a little bit?
Yeah, you can't lie about that. I was pissed.
Yeah.
2 years in a row. Like,
that's got to suck. Did he do it like right at the 9th game? Like, hey, William, it's time. Did you ever, like, did he tell you beforehand?
No, I got, you know, they were in the ninth game off that game, probably. That was my first. I had Doug Wilson that year.
Okay.
My first year. So they sent me back to Sweden that year. But I kind of had a feeling it was going to happen because obviously with the contact situation and stuff. But I was still like, so you can't say you're pissed. If you're not saying you're pissed, you're not a, you know, competitor. Mm-hmm. You want to be out there. You want to play with the best. So, you know, I had to suck that up and, you know, go home and play.
And then the same thing happened the year after. But you get to stay in San Jose anyways, play with the Barracuda. That probably – was that bittersweet? Because you go to the Barracuda, you play good. Like, point per game, you had a good season. Did you look at it like, okay, next year's my year? Or were you, like, just a little annoyed?
Yes and no. I think the AHL year maybe was good for me in some term, looking back to it. But also, like, right there and in that situation, I always wanted to play.
Yeah.
I thought I was good enough to play and – but you know, it's a lot of business decisions.
Yeah.
You know, you got to see from their perspective too. But you know, you always want to play. You can't lie about that. You want to play every night. You want to be an 82 game player. So that's what I wanted to be.
How was it like with the Barracuda? Because you play in the same city, you play in the same rink. Did you get a chance to play with the big team? Were you around the Sharks, or was it completely two different teams?
It's I would say two different teams.
Yeah.
Like it's. You're in the same building, but it's really far from each other, I would say. You know how that's built, that little rink complex and stuff. Like, it's a little further from each other, but you see each other sometimes. Like, you could see, you know, the guys coming out to practice and stuff like sometimes. And, like, I want to be there. So it gets your motivation up a little bit, too. Like, you want to be there so bad.
You see your friends, you're like, I wish, Fabian, I want to be with you. I'm sorry, I'm not there yet. Maybe next year. But anyways, moving on. So you make the Sharks, you're a rookie, you play 82 games, you play great. You play last year, you play great, you sign a new contract. What I want to talk about is you're not a, you know, a tough guy. You know, but last year, you got into a hell of a fight. You're playing, and this prick, Eli Tolvanen, at the end of the game in Seattle, he starts shoving you, puts his hand up in your face, and you said, enough is enough, and you beat his doors off. Did you know that you had that in your bag, that you could do that, William? Because it was amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I had one fight in AHL, actually, the year before.
Yeah.
And that was pretty, like, big. So, and I learned from that, like, don't go after too big of guys, but... Yeah, you know, obviously it was like just the end of the game, and it was just—it's been a chirpy game all over, and it's a lot of like bad mood on our team, and it was—and you know, enough was enough, and I don't know. It's just—I'm not a fighter, obviously, but he's trying to get in there and do something. And this time, yeah, we both brought the gloves, so it was a good fight, you know.
Is that why Mike had to go out and get Ryan Reeves, because he saw you and he didn't want you doing that too much? Were you relieved when you saw that they brought Revo in?
He's gonna be fine for sure, seeing him coming in. And you know, it's almost having him on the team is gonna be good.
Looking at international wise, obviously you're a Sweden kid. I played with a bunch of Swedes before we came on. I was talking about Douglas Murray, Stahlberg, I believe it was Hjalmarsson. I played with Finns too, Koivu and Backstrom and these guys, Antti Miettinen. Why is it that Swedes seem like they're fun? They're cool, they're outgoing, they're just chill guys to hang out with, but the Finns are boring and reserved and almost robotic. Is there something in Scandinavia where, like, you go to Sweden and you're instantly cool, and then you go to Finland and you're super boring?
I don't know. We've been having that rivalry for a long time too, though, so it's obviously always fun to meet. Like, I was, you know, connect really good with Finns whenever I talk with them or everything, but also when you play each other, it's like the biggest rival ever, and you just, you know, on the ice, you hate each other when you play each other. So I don't know too much about that, but I always connect really good.
So you're not going to go to Helsinki for a vacation at all?
No, I wouldn't do that.
So you've played with these guys, you're having a good thing, you're back home. Last year, was it tough? Because speaking of Swedes, you were good friends with Fabian Zetterlin. We had him on the team, on the show last year, I believe, maybe the year before. He gets dealt to Ottawa. Was that the first real NHL business moment? Because at the time, listen, you're a young kid. everything's going good. You're scoring points. You're getting used to the, you know, the NHL game. And then all of a sudden, one of your best players gets dealt to, I think you were close with, you play video games, all this stuff. You probably eat with them all the time, speak Swedish together all the time, I would imagine. How tough was that for him being dealt?
That was tough, you know. Like I said, it was obviously my first, like, I would say that business decision. Yeah. Like, it was a tough period when, you know, you meet a lot of friends and players. It becomes your friends. And that year, you know, I played with a lot of players during my 2 years here. You know, yeah. A lot of players that are my friends today, too, have been dealt. But it's always tough because it's, you know, it's the human side of it, too. You know, you play with these guys, you get friends with them, and obviously, me and Sets, we hang out every day because he was single, I'm single. So we were just, you know, hanging out, making food, playing video games and stuff. And all of a sudden, that part of it is gone. You're still friends, you're still really good, but it's tough to go from that reality and how the business really works. But I get the business, but it's, at the same time, it's tough.
How is the life in San Jose? Because obviously, it's a complete culture shock coming from Stockholm, Sweden to San Jose. I lived in San Jose. It's a big city. Was it difficult coming there? You're a 19-year-old kid. You're coming to the city by yourself. How hard was it to adjust to just A, living in California, and then B, getting – is the hockey prep different compared to the Swedish league too? Because I imagine there's a lot more going on in San Jose.
It's different for sure. Yeah, it's like – I don't know what to say, but it's two different sides of the world, and it's nine hours in time difference. And, you know, you come there, it's hot, pretty much sun every day, and here it's in the winters, and, you know, fall, it's pretty much dark every day. And it's, you know, it's sports business too. It's very different, American sports to Europe sports, I would say, sometimes. So it was different for sure, but it's, you know, I enjoyed the life in San Jose so much, so. I'm not going to say anything bad about it.
No, it's great. I love Santana Row. I loved living there. I live just outside of the nice neighborhoods. Where are you living in San? What's your address? Tell me right now. Where did you buy a big mansion yet?
No. I'm in Campbell.
Okay.
So I'm pretty close to, like, downtown Campbell.
That's a great area.
You know, it's like 7 minutes from Santana Row. So I like it a lot. I've been there for like my 3 years. I've been in San Jose.
Do you buy something right away, or do you just rent?
No, I used to rent to the same spot every year.
Well, now you're probably going to have to buy Jumbo's place.
So I don't think I can even imagine those money. That's a lot of money.
What are you driving? Because when I went to San Jose, I ditched my SUV. I got a Camaro SS convertible, and I zipped around town. It was fantastic. What's in your garage right now?
BMW X3M.
That's terrible. What? Sorry. Come on. That's like a mom car.
What? No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's like a kiddie getter. Let's go to the school to pick up the kids. Are we going to get something fun or no? Or are you just going to just drive the SUV forever?
I like my SUV. So, you know, I drive Volvo here in Sweden. So.
Do you? Because I'm about to go buy a Volvo tomorrow. Are you serious? Oh, it's great. What kind of Volvo?
Yeah. XC60. So it's this SUV again.
Yeah.
I love my SUV.
How many car seats you got in the back? You got some booster seats for the kids? You drive them to summer camp and stuff?
I got three back there for my brothers, you know? So I got to get
that's. I actually went to Stockholm with my whole family a few years ago because my brother-in-law worked there for some Spotify, I think, or something. I brought my whole family. Okay. I have eight kids. And so we were getting the dirtiest looks going around public transportation because people don't have kids in Stockholm. It was so bizarre. They were giving me like they're like, are these all your kids? What's wrong with you? I was like, bro, they're just kids. It was so bizarre.
Really?
Yeah, it was so weird. I thought I was going to be loved bringing these kids into this beautiful city, and they were just like, get out of our town. And I was like, fine, Stockholm, beat it. I went to Norway. We went to Norway for a week because I couldn't take it anymore. Not friendly at all. Why? Why is that, William?
I have no clue. You know, I haven't met them. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, not good. Do you get noticed back home now that you're a superstar? Obviously, you know, playing there, growing up there, playing the juniors, and you make the senior team, then you go to the NHL. That's a big deal. There's not a lot of Swedes in the NHL anymore. Do you come home and everyone's like, oh, that's William Eklund. Oh, my gosh. Sign the autographs and stuff?
I don't know. If you go to kids camp and stuff, yeah, I would. Sometimes you get recognized here, but I wouldn't say I get so much. You know, I think my brother too. He gets more than me.
Well, yeah, because he's like, better.
Because he's, yeah, and also he plays on that. You know, the Stockholm team. They recognize you so much. Like when I play at home here, I get recognized more. Now it's like you're gone there in the US, and it's not the same. You're gone. You know?
Well, he won the championship yeah, too. Exactly. Like you didn't win the championship.
He's the shit now. Yeah. So. I'm old news.
Well, that might change because, listen, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. And that's a saying in North America where you get ahead of yourselves. The Olympics, yeah. William, 6 months away, less than 6 months away. Have you heard of this tournament?
I have heard of it, yeah.
Okay. You got Carlson. You got Eriksson Ek, Forsberg. You got Kempe. You got Landeskog who's making a return. Nylander, Pettersson, Lindholm. Oh, and William Eklund making an appearance. Oh boy, oh boy. That's exciting. Are you – you obviously know it's on the horizon. You are projected to be on the roster of forwards. Dude, anything can happen in the next 4 months to the start of the season. How excited are you to potentially put on the Trey Kroners?
Ooh, I like that pronunciation too. It's, you know, it's obviously one of the biggest things you can do in any sport, I would say. Yeah. Like Olympics, like especially just play for your team, play for your home country. It's, you know, I know, pretty surreal if you get the chance to do it. So that's for sure one of my goals this year to do. And it's, you know, yeah, I want to be there.
Hell yeah. I know. I don't know what that question even does because you're going to say the answer is like, yeah, I want to play on the team, dummy. It is what it is. It's just exciting because you are this time 2 years ago, would you ever have thought like, holy hell, like I could be on the Olympic roster playing with all these great players. Not a chance you would have thought that being 20 years old, right?
No, to be honest, no.
Yeah. What have you done in the last 2 years to get so much better? Because like, yes, you're a good player, but geez, like you're a budding superstar.
I don't know. I've been working like really hard, I guess. It's a boring answer, but it's just like I've been so consistent with what I do. I've been just trusting the process, I guess. It's just a boring answer.
It is. This is a boring interview.
It's the truth. Like just the truth. Like it's just been like that, and you know it's the same with me and my brother. We've been just going at each other, and I think we love to compete against each other. Yeah. And we love to compete, so that's what it comes from, really.
Is there a good group there in Stockholm for you guys to train with and skate with? Who is around? Because like I just listed off all these guys, and obviously Sweden doesn't have that many big cities. So, is there a good group of guys you train with in the summer?
Yeah, Jesper Bratt, Nylanders, both brothers. Elias Pettersson is there. It's a lot of good players. Pastanai was there too, and it's been a really good group of guys skating. So
yeah,
get intense.
You get starstruck at all when these guys walk in the room, or you pass that because you're one of the group now. You're one of the boys.
I don't know. It's still pretty cool to play with those guys. Yeah. But
what's your ideal? So just say let's just play what if. So fast forward 6 months, you got your Olympic gear. You're going. Yeah. You're going to the games. The coach comes up. Just say the coach is Peter Forsberg. Whatever.
Yeah.
He says, William, who do you want to play with? Who's your centerman? Who's your right winger? What's the first line look like if you're on the left side?
If I'm on the left side, yeah. I like a really good centerman in Eriksson Ek. I think he's so good all around.
Wow.
Like it's, yeah, one of my favorite players to watch. And obviously it would be really cool to play with Nylander.
No kidding. So. That's an interesting, there's so many good players that you got to pick, and you pick Eriksson Ek. Does he get undervalued, I think, in the NHL?
Yeah, for sure. He's so good in every aspect of the game, I'd say. He's like, he always plays the top line too, you know, and yeah, he's just a really good hockey player. What can you say?
No, you can't say anything more. He's fantastic. So the Sharks, two full seasons you've been there. Last place both years. By like a country mile. By a long margin. But Everybody and their brother says, oh, they're having so much fun. Everything's great. Look at how good the attitude is. And then they contrast it to Chicago. Oh, Chicago, same boat. Everybody's negative. Does it ever irk you that everybody's okay with you guys losing? Or is it okay because you know you're going to get better? Because I've been in a rebuilding team. And it's like, yeah, it's fun. We're going to get better, but we're still losing. What's the locker room like, William?
It's not okay at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's never okay to lose. Like, obviously, we've been losing, but I don't think that, you know, any of us, I know any of us hasn't, you know, liked the situation. We hate losing. Yeah. We have a lot of guys there who want to win and want to compete and make the playoffs. And, you know, that's where our mentality is every time. But, you know, these last 2 years, we've been fighting a lot. And we, like, this last year, we lost a lot of games by one or two goals in the last period. And I feel like, you know, we're so many games where we're just there, and it's frustrating enough that we're just there, but we just got to get over the hump and, you know, get those wins, because this is the only thing that counts, to be honest.
Yeah, what's it like playing with Celebrini this past year? Because all the press and all the crap. I was in Chicago working for the Hawks when Bedard got into the league, and it was nuts, man. Like, it was hundreds of reporters. The poor kid couldn't, like, take a leak without someone being over his shoulder. Be like, oh, look at the way you pee. Isn't that interesting? Was it the same with Celebrini in San Jose? Because the guy was just like, everybody was watching and you were playing on his line. He seemed to be okay with it.
Potential can sometimes feel daunting, scary, but today's the day you decide to act on it with a higher technical qualification. Designed with employers, it will give you the skills you need to land the job you want, because today is your day. When anything is possible, if you make it happen.
It all starts with skills. See how you can get started. Search Skills for Life.
You're packing for your holiday last minute when you realize you've forgotten some travel essentials. Don't worry, Deliveroo's here with everything from sun care and skincare to hair care saviors, travel essentials, and more. Shop Boots, Accessorize, and the Perfume Shop. Delivered in as little as 20 minutes. Plus, until the 18th of August, get up to 50% off selected summer beauty essentials. Deliveroo now just got even better. Subject to availability, delivery times may vary. Geographical restrictions, service, and delivery fees apply. See deliveroo.co.uk.
He is. He's such a mature guy. Like, you know, he feels like he's been handling the pressure all his life, to be honest. Like, sometimes I'm like, how can you handle all these guys who want your autograph after, like, you come into the hotel at, like, 3, 4 a.m. and this guy's standing just screaming at him and
crazy.
Sign my autograph. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's sometimes I'm like, how do you handle this? But he's such a mature guy and, you know, humble kid. So he just goes to work next day and does his thing and comes out and kills it. So he's been a great player for us.
Do you guys enjoy each other's company, you and Smitty and Graf? Like, is it a tight group or you guys just don't like each other?
We hate each other.
That's what I thought. You can see it on the ice.
No. Yeah, exactly. No, I think we all enjoy, you know, company. It's fun to hang out with those guys, you know. Obviously, those guys coming from college, it's fun to be around them. And, you know, it's really fun to not be the youngest guy.
No kidding. You're 22 years old and you're almost a vet on this team with some of these guys. It's crazy. Obviously, everybody knows you're a geek who plays video games. Is there anything else you do that's fun that you go outside other than play hockey? Because in San Jose, like, I had a wife and kids when I was there, so we would go to the beach, we'd go to the mountains, we'd go to the desert. We tried to do a lot. Do you just go to the rink, go home, shut the blinds, and play FIFA all the time, or do you actually go outside sometimes?
I actually do go outside. I need some sun sometimes too. So I do. I have a lot of family coming over and stuff, friends. So I usually always end up doing something, either go there or even go like to the beach, Santa Cruz. But it's 25 minutes away, and you go there. It's so beautiful. So, I always end up doing something. I would say, or like some days you're so tired, so you don't do anything. But usually I want to do something at least, go to the beach or dinner or something.
So you're not a complete introvert geek who does nothing, because I get worried about you guys. You know, you got to you got to get out and live life. You got to just, you know, and you're a Swede. If you were a Finn, I'd be very, very worried. But I think you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Now, living in San Jose, obviously your first 2 years weren't great. Mike Greer has been an unbelievable GM. I feel like he should have won GM of the year this past season for what he did. He sees you guys losing. He goes out this offseason. He gets Orlov, Swede, Klingberg. You get a backup goalie, Nedeljkovic, who could be a starter. You get Skinner, Letty. You get Gaudette, Kurashev, who's a good underrated forward who could play in the top six easily. And then Ryan Reeves. That's nine guys, William, that's going to step into this roster and play. Do you feel any pressure to win now? Because you're one of the top guys of this team. You're a leader. Do you feel pressure now that Greer's been like, okay, we got our draft picks. You guys have got a couple years under your belt. It's time to win. You feel it now?
Yeah, more and more. Yeah, I do. It's time. Like, it's, you know, he's been doing a really good job, obviously, this offseason, drafting and getting players in. And it's up to a lot of guys now to show up more and be, you know, be better.
Yeah.
And that's a lot for me too. You know, I need to be better. I need to look myself into the mirror. What can I do better for us to win? And, you know, we need to get those wins. And that's the only thing that's counts. So, yeah, I am.
All right. So there is pressure. So what happens this year when I come to San Jose, which I will, because I think Pavs is getting his jersey retired. So I'll be there because I would be invited. I'm a leech who just goes everywhere. What are the expectations then, William, this year? Because you can't go from here to Stanley Cup contender. That's outrageous. But what are small goals for this team?
Small goals is just getting, I don't know, it's so hard to tell.
Yeah, right. The West is so strong. The teams you play are so difficult. Strong West. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, like, you know, we need obviously more wins, and we need to be like, at least looking, you know, we got to be looking at the playoff spot.
Be in the hunt, you know, at the deadline, maybe.
Be in the hunt. We want to be in the hunt. We want to be there, and you know, looking at the wild card, maybe, and you know, obviously win as many games as possible. But realistic goal is to just be in that hunt and be ready for, you know, anything can happen. If you stay in the hunt for a while, you can go on a heater. You never know. So,
hell yeah,
you know, that's where we want to be.
I think it's possible. But when you look at the West, you mentioned how strong it is. You're playing, like, the Kings are strong. You got Colorado. You got Edmonton. You have all these high-end teams. Is it crazy to roll into, you know, Edmonton, and then you're playing the majority of your minutes versus McDavid? You roll into Colorado. It's like, holy shit, I'm playing against McKinnon and all these high-end guys. Is that crazy? You go to Dallas. You go to Vegas. And other teams are keying on you. What's that like? Because you're right in the battle with these high-end guys.
It's the most fun ever.
Is it really? Is it pressure? Because, listen, they would hide me. I would play 5 minutes versus the other team's worst line. Like, don't screw it up. Just don't touch the puck. You have to do stuff. Is it – there's no pressure? You just love it?
I do love it because it's so fun. If you play those guys, it's just what you dream of, really. It's just – you can't, if McDavid gets speed, it's not that fun. But if you play those guys every night, then that's what you want to do, really. You want to play as much as you can. So I love it a lot.
Who's harder to play against? Because you see, obviously, the speed of McDavid, you see McKinnon, the strength, and then you got the more composed plays of guys in Vegas with their Carlsons or the Hurdles or the Eichels, who are just all around skill. Who do you think is the difficult guy to play against?
Like, obvious answer is like...
Well, it's McDavid, the obvious answer.
Yeah, it's the obvious answer. But, like, playing a guy like Barkov or like a guy like that, it's like he does everything right out there. Like, it's just so hard to play against, especially if you go toe-to-toe with a guy like that and, you know, you battle it out. It just doesn't do anything wrong in a game, I'd say.
Is it because it's the defense, right? He's just in your pocket all the time?
Yeah, he's also so good offensively. Yeah. Like, you know, he scores those goals, he scores points, and he still shuts you down in the defense sometimes. So, guys like that, it's just so hard to play against.
So, you would rather play against an all offensive guy versus a Barkov or even a Crosby or a McKinnon or these types of players?
Hard to tell. Yeah. You know, both of them.
You're really playing good against him, William. You're the guy now.
I guess like playing against, yeah, like a Barco or something like that, it's really hard because they're so good in both songs.
It's crazy. What about a D-man? Because you're going against a D-man. Would you rather go, you know, a 3-on-2 versus like a Makar and the skilled guys? Or would you rather go against like a Hedmund, the bigger dudes? So who's harder to go around?
That's such a hard question.
I know. Isn't it good?
Slaving is he's one of the toughest guys, I think. Slaving,
why? Yeah, he's so big and he takes space away.
His skate's really good too. Yeah. Like he's, you think you have him and you don't.
And then he's so just right like, on you.
Yeah, and it's in your pocket, so it's really good defenseman. So guys like that is really hard to play.
What's your guys' play when you're entering the zone? Because you obviously Macklin wants the puck because that he always wants the puck. Yeah. What is your go-to player? Is Toffoli driving the net? Are you supporting Macklin underneath? Are you you getting space on the far side?
Yeah, like obviously Mac, he likes to pants where he's going, but he likes to we like to go in a quick rush. If he and me got speed, I think we're in a good position because we always got to be, you know, fast on counterattacks. And if he gets it on the wing or I get it on the wing, the other guy usually just crashes the net and, you know, tries to open something up, maybe for Toff, because we obviously want Toff to shoot because he got really good shots. So if he gets it, he usually scores. So that's the ideal one. But usually doesn't happen that way, but ideal one is that.
And you score. Do you guys ever get pissed at each other? Because I played with high-end guys. I got Taser and Kane and Sharp and Hosa in Chicago, and they would just scream at each other on the bench. Like, just, you like, cuss each other out. And then after the game, they'd be perfectly fine. Are you guys have that relationship where you come off the ice and you go, Macklin, what the hell were you thinking? Like, trying to beat those two guys. I'm wide open. Give me the damn puck.
Haven't got that many.
Not yet.
I think that will come.
Okay,
though.
Good.
I think that will come more and more this year. And I hope it does because it's a good thing. Like he goes after me and I go after him. We go after each other because we want to be better. So you need that, I think.
How's the practices like? Is it competitive?
Yeah, it is. It's good. It's really good.
Who's the, like, because I had Ferrara on the show too. Do you just absolutely roast him in practice because he's supposed to be the guy? And do you, Macklin, just pick him apart?
I don't know. He's hard to play against in the corners too. He goes so hard with the cross checks. You know? Oh, he goes hard in practice too. I like that because you can give it back to him a little bit. It's fun.
Which teams do you love playing against? Because obviously you're in the West. You have Anaheim. You have LA. You're up and down that coast. Is there one team or a couple teams you're like, yeah, you get up playing those guys? Like when I was there, it was LA. We had that big rivalry. Who's your big rivalry now that you're in San Jose?
I like playing as Anaheim.
Ah,
it's fun because they have pretty young group of guys too. I think we have a pretty young group of guys too. And I don't know. I just like playing and it's fun.
Is that the team you're kind of gauging yourself against? Because you mentioned young guys, they got Gauthier, they got Carlson, McTavish. You guys have your young core. Is it like a race, a comparison to see who can take that next step? Obviously you don't talk to each other, but you watch the standings. So is that who you're kind of measuring yourself against, Anaheim? Those pricks over in Anaheim?
I don't know. We're just trying to, you know, when you go out and set it, I feel like it's something more than, I don't know. It's just, you really want to win that game.
Oh, yeah.
It's for us, it's a big, big game and we want to win that game.
So if you're going to fight one guy in the NHL, is it now your brother or who else would you rather fight in the NHL if you had a chance to drop the mitts with?
I don't think my mom and dad would be so
your
happy.
Your brother would beat your doors off, probably. Like, from what I've seen, the guy's a stud. Absolute stud.
Yeah, he is a stud, but he's... we go, you know, he's been beat up all his little shallow for me, you know?
So no fighting, fighting at all. Who's the hardest, in your opinion? Now, you've been around the block, you played against all these guys. Who's the most skilled guy? Just pure skills you've played against. I know Barkov is all-around talent, defense, offense. McDavid is a burner. Who's got the best hands where it's just like a Datsuk, where it's just like, damn, man, like you are a magician.
Who's that? I can really like someone I look up to who's I've been watching from my childhood too, real close, because I grew up with his brother here in Sweden, Jesper Bratt.
No way.
So we went in the same school from like first grade to ninth grade. And, you know, I was at his place all the time. you know, obviously seeing Jesper when he was he fell in the draft, and how pissed he was, and how he became this such an underrated great player in the NHL, and you know, just seeing him, what he's done all every day, and how he's been getting this good. You know, I see some so close. You know, obviously we with his brother and me being so close, and I saw him work so hard every day, and I when I see him sometimes when we skate in the summer, it's just like holy
crazy,
he's so skilled.
Gosh,
so skilled.
You mentioned these Swedes that don't really get kind of the love that they should with Eriksson Ek and Jesper Bratt, because they're kind of overshadowed by Kaprizov, and then in obviously New Jersey you got Hughes and Hirschier. So interesting, you got these sleeper picks. You're trying to make the Olympic team. I get it, because you're naming all these Swedes. You're like, oh, they're great, they're the best players, obviously I love them. But all right, a couple more then I'll let you go. This season, you say you're always working. What is one thing that you're not good at that you're trying to get better at? Like, what do you go to the gym and you're like, I got to work on my backhand. You know, I got to work on this. Like, what are you trying to get better at?
My shooting has always been a thing for me. Like, I would say growing up, I was always a pass first guy. And when you have that pass first mentality in your head, it's a mental thing. Yeah. You know, you look for passes, but then it becomes so predictable for the defenseman to play against. So that's something that I've been trying to work on, you know, pick my corners, and trying to be better at shooting and where to shoot and when to shoot. And, you know, it's getting better and better.
That's it? It's getting better and better, but that's it? Okay. I didn't know you were done. You stopped it so quick. I was like, he's going to elaborate, but he didn't. That's okay. What is your biggest strength then as a player? Is it just your vision? Is it your just all-around play? Like, what is William Eklund just so good at?
My vision, I would say. Oh, yeah.
That's so good. Isn't it? What do you got 20/20 vision? It's crazy. Imagine, listeners, what it would be like to be William Eklund, where you just know where guys are going to be. And then it just happens. I get the puck. I have to stare at it, make sure it's on my stick, and look up. And I can only see like that much tunnel vision. It's crazy. So when
you scored though, you scored instead.
I score.
Yeah, I saw you goal in the All-Star game.
Two goals in the All-Star game. Don't you forget it, buddy boy. Yeah, MVP, buddy. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So you got your season coming up. You're going to move to San Jose. You got the big contract. Do you know that you're the longest contracted player for the San Jose Sharks now? You got a 3-year deal?
I didn't know.
Nobody
that,
has a longer deal. It's crazy. So really? This coming off season, there's a ton of like insane UFAs. San Jose is going to have a ton of money to spend because everybody is the end of their deal. Like Skinner's gone, Grunston's gone, Reeves is gone, Delandria's gone, Kurashev's gone, Wenberg's gone. They're all UFAs who could potentially leave. And that's just the forwards group. All your defense are gone, other than Orlov, who signed a 2-year deal. Do you, I don't know, because it's fun to play what if. But if we had this interview next year, you could be playing with some insane superstar talent to go along with you and Smitty and Macklin. Do you ever think about that, or are you just like stay focused on this season? Because, yeah, you're not the GM.
Exactly. No, I didn't even know I was the longest contracted guy.
Stupid. So it's crazy.
That's how much I know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's so far away. I don't know. I'm that guy who just looks the next month. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's good to be. But anyways, is there any advice you have for me that I can do better, William?
Just be you.
Okay. Is that it? Just be myself? I can do that. All right, William. Yeah. I love it. We got to work on getting you a nice car for a single guy. And then I think you'll be set in San Jose. But I appreciate you being here, man. I don't want to take up any more of your time. You go enjoy the night and have a good dinner in Sweden. And hopefully I'll see you in San Jose this year, my man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, William Eklund, everybody, superstar of the San Jose Sharks. Cheers, everybody. Have a good one.
Potential. Potential can sometimes feel daunting, scary, But today's the day you decide to act on it with a higher technical qualification. Designed with employers, it will give you the skills you need to land the job you want, because today is your day. When anything is possible, if you make it happen.
It all starts with skills. See how you can get started. Search Skills for Life.
Hi, it's GK Barry here, and my podcast Saving Grace is currently sponsored by Experian, the UK's most trusted credit score. Do you know what I realised the other day? I am obsessed with tracking things and keeping score. I like to track my steps, my sleep quality, how much water I'm having. But here's the thing, none of these scores have actually got me anywhere. But there is one score I've started checking that actually matters, my Experian credit score. I know people can sometimes feel a bit nervous to check their credit score, but it's really simple to do and can help you sort out your finances. It helped me specifically when I wanted to go buy a house. Download the free Experian app and check your credit score today.